Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Yeah. Jason and I were just talking about calls. So, no calls today, please, class. And it's not that we don't like calls. It's just that we have... Who's that guy on the radio that says so much information? Who is that guy? Well, actually, it's true. We do. And Kathy's with us today. Welcome, Kathy.
Good morning, Vince. How are things at the farm and the new baby calf?
Baby calf is doing really, really well. And some puppies have decided to call us their family. So we have two boy puppies who are dropped off. And geez, unbelievable. People just, you know, Kathy, sounds like a depression. Sounds like people can't take care of their animals, and they just drop them off when they're puppies, and they just say, well, maybe they can fend for themselves. If they can't, well, it's too bad, they'll die. But maybe, just maybe, somebody else will pick up some of them. That's the kind of stuff that happens when people are broke. And so why am I mentioning this? Well, there's another thing. I bought three items on eBay, three small items, and all three of them were returned to the sender because they have a new regime at the post office in about 20 miles from here, and the mail or the packages through the USPS made it all the way from California and Florida all the way to within 20 miles of us. There's only 100 people that live in our small hamlet. Pretty much everybody knows us. The mail used to get here. Well, they don't know us, and so they sent three of the packages back. And then what happens is the post office says, y'all want them? No problem. Just pay to reship them. So... And one of the items, the gal that sent it to us from Florida said that she can't afford. She's broke. She said, I'm broke. Had to borrow money to fix my car. I can't afford to send this package back to you. So I bought it. I paid for it. I need it. It's a transformer. And I can't get it because she doesn't have the money to send it back to me. Because the post office won't send it back without paying for postage again. What a mess. And it's just a tip. The tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg. And so people are, you know, when they say the economy's roaring and doing well, that's nonsense, absolute nonsense, in the circles that I am aware of. Kathy, does this sound like parallels to the first Great Depression, which is what we're going to be talking about today?
Yeah, it sure does, Vince. We've had two dogs this winter dropped off. Very, very sad. One was pushed out of the car and was running back and forth looking for the owner. Never came back, obviously. Then we had another one down by the farm, down the road by me, and they put a bag of dog food and threw it in the field. And the dog was there for 2 or 3 days. And one of the neighbors, she brought it in, and she did take it, or she did call the place that has a shelter, but they said they thought that because it had such a good demeanor, it wouldn't have trouble getting adopted. So hopefully that one was okay. But, you know, Vince, I'm seeing the same thing. And I've been reading the book, and I've been doing research and reading comments and making notes. And, boy, it's history repeats itself. The more you study it, the more it repeats itself.
Yeah, and Kathy, when she mentioned the book, class, the book is about the first Great Depression. And Kathy told me about it a couple of weeks ago, and we decided that this is great for class, teaching the class about the stories that we've heard from our families. Kathy's family, independent from my family, maybe Kathy's husband's family, my wife's family. And the book is called The Great Depression, A Diary. And I ordered the book in time for this class. And it was one of those items that was sent back. So I ordered it again from a different seller on eBay. And they took so long to put it in the mail. I was supposed to have had it by today. I won't have it for a few more days. So we're going to be telling stories from this book. I have not had a chance to read the book because it got sent back to the seller. It got within 20 miles of the house, just like the other two packages. But Kathy was telling me off air some of the information in this book. And it's the same thing that I've heard from my parents and my grandparents. And Kathy has heard from her parents and grandparents. So it's really kind of interesting, the lives that people lived. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the first Great Depression. And what you're going to find out is that we are on our way, full speed ahead, to the second Great Depression. It's already started. And some of the stories that we will tell you, this is not fiction. This is fact. First-hand accounts in this book. I'm going to share them with you. Kathy, where would you like to start?
Well, Vince, just a little background. Both my husband's parents and my parents and grandparents went through the Great Depression. And I would say that I remember my dad talking about it, and you could tell there was like a deep sadness and pain in his eyes. And he didn't talk much about it. I wished I would have asked more, but I don't think he really liked to talk about it. But he mentioned that he had to walk everywhere. He was a young man. He had to drop out of school in the 10th grade, and he had to walk. He walked really from our downtown area to like the suburbs. There was a golf course there, and he would caddy. My dad was a pretty good-sized man, like probably 6'1", very, like, you know, muscular. So for him, it was something that was easy for him to do, he said. But if he didn't find work, it was probably at least 10 miles that he had to walk. If he didn't find work, then he had to go home and walk back. And that was just a caddy. And then when he dropped out of school, he would set up bowling pins. And I don't know, I can't remember the exact, it was something about 50 cents. So I don't know if it was 50 cents a day, 50 cents every few days. I can't remember that part. I don't know that he said it. But there were lots of things. My husband's father didn't have any tools, and he built a small addition onto their house, and he used a glass of, like, a measuring cup that had a line. That was his level. He talks about him carrying meat. I don't know if meat was just hard to get or meat was illegal or was rationed at the time, but I remember him saying he would go at night and carry meat back on his back and walk back to the house and so they could process it or freeze it. And, you know, I just remember, like, going to my aunt's house after she died, and they had the rationing coupons in there. And my grandma, they were very poor. I knew that. They had one dress. The girls had one dress, and the boys had one pair of dress pants, and that was all they had. And I just remember my grandma's house being very sparse because she just didn't have any money. You know, that was just the way it was. I didn't know she was poor. I mean, you wouldn't look and say she went hungry. But I found out through reading all this that there was so much in history that they lied about. And in this book, The Diary, it was written by his son. And so he goes back and he tells you firsthand, like, he tells you that people committed suicide. He tells you there was violence and home break-ins. Now, they don't tell you that, you know, in today's edited history. So it's a good read as far as learning, like, what was the truth of really that really happened. So I went through and I read different articles and I read things online, and I actually made notes of people saying what their parents and grandparents had to live through. And it really was amazing. Like, there were stories of people saying that they had to boil grass to get their broth. They had to wash their clothes or take baths in the river with soap. You know, it was things like we just don't think about today. Can you imagine, like, our life, you know, being like that? But it was this thing where we cleaned out my husband's uncle's basement, and they saved everything. I mean, they had calendars from the 30s and paper. Paper must have been hard to find. They had paper products, napkins, and toilet paper, and all that kind of thing. But once you had it all taken away, then people didn't trust after that. They didn't trust the banks, and they were lied to. They were told everything was good. Like, one lady took her whole year's savings from the farm so she could put it in the bank, and then when she needed it in a few months, she was going to go buy everything she needed, like flour and products that she couldn't produce. And she went to the bank manager, and she said, you know, I'm hearing rumors that the bank is going to close and we're not going to get our money. And, oh, no, no, that's a rumor. 2 days later, the bank closed, and she never got her money. And that was their whole life savings. And the lady said that they almost starved. If it hadn't been for their small farm, they would have starved. So that's just the beginning. But, you know, Vince, I just have pages and pages and notes. And the more I read, the more that I wanted to read to get the real story.
You know, there, class, if you're wondering when the first Great Depression was and how long it lasted, was it quick? Was it a, you know, soft landing? No such thing. First Great Depression happened very quickly, October of 1929, and it lasted, according to the internet, it lasted for 10 years. Nonsense. It lasted until World War II, which started December 7th, 1941, for the United States. And the first Great Depression really wasn't over until World War II was over. There were very few jobs. They say the unemployment rate was 25%. It's kind of like that right now. I don't care what anybody says about, you know, how we're creating jobs, really. So the people around here, the people I talk to, would love to have a job. But there aren't any jobs. There aren't any jobs for them. So, you know, if you're a very highly skilled mechanic, or if you're a nurse or you're a doctor, yes, there are jobs for you. If you're a dentist, there are jobs. If you're a dental hygienist, there are jobs. There are jobs in healthcare. But if you think that you could just go to school and graduate high school and get a job, you might be able to get one in a factory somewhere. But it's a right now it's a dead end job. It's not a career, and you'd be really fortunate to find one. You know, during the time of the first Great Depression, 1929 through World War II, which was 1941 through 1945. President Hoover was the president in around 1929. And Hoover declared that, and this is a quote from him, in 1929, he said the conditions are fundamentally sound. But the reality was Americans with no jobs, little food, no homes, no money, they responded with some humor. And they renamed Marks of the Depression, the poverty, with Hoover terms, like Hooverisms, what they called. So,
if you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
So, Hooverisms, named after President Herbert Hoover, were jokes and slights against the president. People felt the same way about him as they do today about Brandon. So here's a Hooverism. A Hoover hog, H-O-G, like a pig. A Hoover hog is a wild rabbit caught by a country person for food. Okay? That's a Hoover hog. And a Hoover blanket. A Hoover blanket is an old newspaper wrapped around a homeless person for warmth while sleeping. What's a Hoover flag? A Hoover flag is an empty pocket. So think of your pants pocket with the lining pulled outside, sticking out. And that was a sign of, I've got nothing. I've got nothing in my pockets. Nothing. And signs were like, if you like the Depression and want more, vote for Hoover. Another Hooverism is a Hoover car. A Hoover car is an old car with the front cut off. You know, the engine, the hood, that's cut off. And then that car is pulled by a mule or a horse. So the hood, the engine are taken out. It's got steering. And it's got, you know, the cab, the windshield, and it's pulled by a horse or a mule. That's a Hoover car. What's a Hoover bag? A Hoover bag is a sack that contains all, or contained all of a homeless person's belongings. Everything a person had fit in a Hoover bag. And then there was Hoover shoes or Hoover leather. And those are shoes that had holes that were plugged up with newspaper or cardboard. And I remember my dad doing that. I remember my dad taking a, he wore out the sole of his leather shoes, and he took a piece of cardboard. Like, there was no thought involved. He just developed a hole in the shoe and put a piece of cardboard in there and went on about his day. And a Hooverville, that's a shanty. It's a town full of lean-tos from thrown away materials such as cardboard, burlap, rags, tin, wood, whatever could be found, and made into a shelter from the sun, the wind, and the rain, and the snow. And that was a Hooverville when you got a bunch of those together. That was America. That was America starting in 1929. Kathy, back to you.
Well, then, you know, you got me to thinking when you just said that. Is that any different than our homeless little camps right now that are popping up all over the country?
Well, You're right. The only difference is the new Hoovervilles or the new Bidenvilles or Brandonvilles are made up of brand new tents. The people who are the occupants of these tents on public property have brand new clothes. I don't know where they get all these brand new sneakers and all these brand new T-shirts and brand new jackets and sweatshirts and pants. They have new clothing and new tents, which is completely different from the first Great Depression when people were on their own and they weren't getting free stuff. The people that I see in these homeless camps, some of them have clothes way better than I do, but they're getting free stuff. Now, when that stops, they're in serious, serious trouble, because I have a feeling that they don't take those clothes to the laundromat and wash them. I think that they throw them away and get new clothes. I think that's what happens.
You know, Vince, one of the other comments you were talking about, getting a job with being like a professional. One dentist had a dollar bill on his desk, and he told the man that was in there that was the only payment he had all week. And he said people stopped going if they got a toothache or a cavity, they just had the tooth pulled. So they just couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford to go to the doctor or the dentist. And, you know, Vince, there were so many comments that I read that talked about, there was one that the lady said that her grandfather, he said the family mule died and the husband was hooked up to the plow and the wife steered it. And that was the only way that they made it without starving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Kathy, every woman knew how to sew. Every woman knew how to mend and create patches for clothes because they had to.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need. You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
USA News Update. The president will be down in Tampa, Florida today to continue his dialogue to protect and strengthen Social Security and Medicare and lower health care costs. One of the few statements made at the State of the Union address that had both Democrats and Republicans standing to applaud. Air Force One touches down at 12:15 p.m. local time. The Department of Justice announced a guilty plea was reached in Texas. The man involved with the 2019 El Paso Walmart mass shooting, Patrick Crucius, pleaded guilty to 90 federal hate crimes and firearms violations. He further admitted that he intended to kill everyone he shot and was deliberately seeking people of Hispanic origin. Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark of the Justice Department Civil Rights Division said, quote, "White nationalist-fueled violence has no place in our society today," end quote. Lance Pry, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hey, y'all. Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Watch it.
No, there's something happening.
This can be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Watch it. You've got your...
Take my...
When you go to
the
season,
slip off. For 2 seconds, sir.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Quote from the Great Depression, Milton Friedman, a world-famous economist, said, quote, "The Great Depression, like most other periods of severe unemployment, was produced by government mismanagement rather than by any inherent instability of the private economy," end quote. Kathy, back to you.
You know, you were talking about sewing, and that's something that I learned. I started at 12. And I learned most of it, obviously, by trial and error. But it's just amazing to me. I would say between cooking and sewing for a woman, it has saved me so much money. I really spend quite a bit of time. It's the mending, the repairing, the hemming, and even in sewing vents, there's like a prevention. Like when I get a new shirt, I'll reinforce the buttons, or I'll put the fray check, which is a product that you put on and it keeps an item from fraying. If you start to get a little hole, you know, I'll either use that depending on what it's on. You have to be careful on certain things, or I know how to darn. I have a darning stitch on my machine. And I mean, you know, since there's so many things that I can see back then, if you didn't know how, I mean, people patched things and there were patchwork quilts. And so that is one skill that if you're able to do it, if you're able to learn, especially if we really get in a bad situation. Now, I know right now there's a lot of clothing around, but what happens in 2 or 3 years if the supply really dries up and the kids grow and you can't afford it? So that's a skill, Vince, that I never thought I would use as much as I have. And it just saves me thousands and thousands of dollars. You know, one thing that I would tell people, like if you get a set of sheets or bath towels, just take your machine and stitch around the edges and reinforce those seams, because sometimes they use what they call almost like a chain stitch, or they use like a big, longer stitch, or the thread is kind of weak and you wash it and then all of a sudden it'll start raveling. Well, it's hard to fix something like a sheet or towel. I mean, you could do it, but it's easier to just stitch it down rather than have it ravel and go into the seam or into the product. So, you know, Vince, that's just one thing that I just like to say. The other thing, Vince, is, you know, people talked about living below their means. They had to live below their means. And there was story after story about people that had to grow their own food. And there were people that obviously couldn't because they were in the city. And there was a quote from a teacher, and she said, in 1940, many children didn't have shoes in the winter. And she said, in 1930, many Americans starved. That was one of a direct quote from her. So even though we were told that people were hungry, one guy said, like, he saw pictures of his grandpa as a little boy, or his dad, I should say, and he had a distended belly, because they were so hungry. And, you know, that is kind of right before people start really going into malnutrition or starving. So, you know, Vince, there's so many things that people did back then. I know that guys went door to door and they would ask for any kind of chores to do, like chop wood, cut grass, you know, do anything they could to repair things. Now, in today's environment, could you really trust people? I mean, that's another problem. I mean, I wouldn't let somebody in my home if I didn't know them. They just came to the door. So, I don't know, Vince. You know, the overwhelming tone of the book is the fact that they really told people to stay out of debt. I mean, he said people that were in debt or that bought and then, you know, just had so much. Almost all those people lost it all because they couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford the payments. They couldn't afford the taxes. They couldn't afford even property taxes if they didn't have any money. So I don't know if you heard that story, and you know, with your parents or hearing from your parents, but that was one that he said many times is, you know, don't in prosperity save up your money. And don't get into debt because the government lied to them most of the time, and the banks were corrupt too, Vince. I'm sure you can expound on that one. But the banks told people that everything was fine and people put their money in it, and then the banks closed and they lost it. So, you know.
Yeah, okay. Yes, those are the stories that I heard from my parents and my grandparents. And I asked my dad many, many times when I was going to school as a young person. So, Dad, what was the first depression? What was the Great Depression like? And he said, What were prices, Dad? What did things cost? I kept asking him different ways, and I always got the same answer to different versions of my question. Vinny, it didn't matter. Nobody had any money. And, Kathy, you were talking about patchwork quilt. A class, people today think patchwork quilts are really neat, lots of different fabrics, and you have to go find different fabrics. Well, back then, patchwork quilts were made to keep people warm, but they didn't have enough material of one kind to make a whole blanket. So what they did was they took little pieces, squares, and sewed them together and made a blanket. And people today go, isn't that beautiful? Well, back then, it was scraps. It was not enough material to do the job right. That's a fact. Here's something else. Every woman, every lady of the house had sewing needles and thread. And a stitch in time saves nine, meaning if a rip starts, fix it right now, right now, because it's going to be bigger and bigger and bigger, and pretty soon you won't be able to fix it. Men had patches on their clothes because men wear suits. That's all they had was a suit. That's all they had left. And there would be patches on the elbows, the sleeves, all over. And it was, well, either you patch it or you freeze. You couldn't buy things. Things weren't available. Nobody had any money. And every lady of the house knew how to darn socks. They knew how to mend them. They knew how to fix buttons. They knew how to make sure that they don't fall off, as Kathy said, to prevent them from falling off, because where are you going to get another button? People lived simply. They didn't have two drawers of silverware, you know, I'm talking about stainless steel silverware, where they could say, well, do you want to use this set or the other set? Two complete sets of service for 8 or 12, for example. They had just enough forks and knives for one meal. And then they had to wash them in case they wanted to have another meal later on that day, if they could have another meal that day. People had gardens in their backyards in cities. If they had a little tiny square property, they converted it into a garden because they had to in order to eat. People in cities actually had chickens. Can you imagine that? Having chickens in, let's say, a property that was an eighth of an acre. Chickens. The neighbors had chickens. And the neighbors' neighbors had chickens. Because that's what was necessary in order to eat. People actually even had kitchen scales, you know, 0 to maybe 25 pounds. And why did they have scales? Because if they were fortunate enough to have money to buy, let's say, a pound of something, they wanted to make sure that the butcher or the baker didn't put his thumb on the scale and cheat them. So they bought their own scales. I have one. I have one of those scales from my grandmother in our kitchen. Kathy, you've seen those scales, right?
Yeah. I think we have the same one, Vince. I can't think of the name of it right now, but you mentioned it, and I believe it's the exact same scale. And we use it to measure different things, too. Yeah.
Yeah, but they used it to make sure they got a pound when they bought a pound.
Yeah.
And it was common. It was common because some people, some merchants, cheated their customers. And so there's some other quotes. Here, you know, there are famous quotes during the Great Depression. These are quotes of false hope. These are lies. These are lies by big men. Men like John Maynard Keynes. In 1927, he said, we will not have any more crashes in our time, end quote. In October of 1929, bam, the big crash. Here's another one. This is from Myron E. Forbes, president of the Pierce Arrow Motor Company. This is in January of 1928. There will be no interruption of our permanent prosperity. Now, these are the big men saying in the media, everything's great, boys and girls. This this wave of prosperity has no end. Here's another one. This is September, just before the crash, a month before the crash. The Secretary of the Treasury, that'd be the government, right? Andrew W. Mellon, Secretary of the Treasury of the United States, said, quote, "There is no cause to worry. The high tide of prosperity will continue," end quote. Irving Fisher, a leading economist in the New York Times, said, September, 1 month before the crash, 1929, quote, "There may be a recession in stock prices, but not anything in the nature of a crash," end quote. So what did, here's another quote. Secretary Lamont and officials of the Commerce Department today denied rumors that a severe depression in business and industrial activity was impending, which had been based on mistaken interpretation of a review of industrial credit conditions issued earlier in the day by the Federal Reserve Board. That was October 14th, 2 weeks before the big crash. Here's another one. The chairman of Continental Illinois Bank of Chicago said, a couple days before the crash, just a couple days, quote, "The crash is not going to have much effect on business," end quote. So what happened? Exactly what Kathy was talking about. The bankers lied, the government lied, the captains of industry lied. They all wanted to protect their own interests at the expense of the little people. And this lasted from 1929 through 1945. People were broke. It was hard to find things. There were shortages of virtually everything. There was rationing by the government. There were ration coupons. You wanted sugar, you wanted a tire, you wanted meat. It was all rationed. Now, we don't quite have that today, but there are signs in the store that say limit two or limit one. Class, that is rationing. That's what that is. We'll be right back.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
So the first Great Depression was started October 24th, 1929. And in 1938, roughly 9 years later, 10 years later or so, a brand new house cost $3,900, $3,900 for a brand new house. And a new car, $860. A gallon of gas, about 10 cents. And a postage stamp, 3 cents. 3 cents. And there's some other quotes that you might find interesting. So there's some famous people. Andrew Mellon, Secretary of the Treasury, said in December, so December 5th, 1929, short time, in months after the Depression started, quote, "The government's business is in sound condition." End quote. Does that sound like anything that you might hear in the news today? President Hoover predicted that the worst effects of the crash upon unemployment will have been passed in the next 60 days. That was in the Washington Dispatch. That was March 8th, 1930. Remember, the crash started October 24th, 1929. And then there was a cablegram to Winston Churchill. It said, quote, "The financial storm definitely passed." That was November, 1 month it was like 2 months after the Depression. The people had been lied to over and over and over again. In 1930, the president, Herbert Hoover, said, "Gentlemen, you've come 60 days too late. The Depression is over." He said that in June of 1930. "The worst is over, without a doubt." James L. Davis, Secretary of Labor, June 1930. Then he said, September 12, 1930. This is the Secretary of Labor. "We've hit the bottom and we're on the upswing." September 1930. Calvin Coolidge, "The country is not in good condition." That was Calvin Coolidge. Assistant Secretary of Commerce Julius Klein, in June 1931, said, "The Depression has ended." Lie after lie after lie after lie. Just like today. Kathy, back to you.
Yeah, Vince, he talks about that quite a bit. Some of the quotes that people had written that were very interesting, this is what we've been saying. One man said, many who stayed in the city starved to death. He said in 1929, 2 million starved, but that was never reported. he said that they would say the government is your friend, and he said they all said after that, the government is not your friend. Another man said, my grandparents grew a 4-acre garden. Otherwise, they would have starved. And he said they were both exhausted, but that was the only way that they could feed their family. Another one mentioned, he said the communists were coming to destroy the United States. That was back in 1930. And then there was another one, and they were talking about growing food, and he said people wanted to, but when we had the year of the Dust Bowl, there was the drought, and then people couldn't grow food, which is, you know, something I think people forget, Vince, that that really did, you know, happen where they couldn't grow. It was just the Dust Bowl. One interesting one, he said, my grandfather took down his hardware store piece by piece. He used the wood to build a house, and so they could move to the country and start a farm. And that was the only way they survived. I can't imagine the work in that. I mean, that had to have taken him like a year at least to take it down and to build a house.
Well, you know, Kathy, those who decide to come to the campsite at Natural Farms at our farm may actually see us doing the same thing. We have an old dairy barn built in the 1940s. It's called the Grade A Dairy Barn. And it has some heavy timbers. And I've talked many times with our son. It needs so much repair. Over the years, you know, before we bought the farm, it was in disrepair. And it's still in disrepair. And I'm considering taking it down for the lumber. It's a monumental job. Monumental. It's a huge barn. It's just, you can see through both sides of it. You can see, you know, standing in the front, you can see right through the back of it. If you stand inside, you can see the sky. I mean, it's like huge holes in this barn. I'm talking about holes the size of cars. And, you know, I can't stand seeing that lumber go to waste. So I understand. And, you know, when we come back, I'll tell you a story about my wife's grandfather. He built houses. He built houses out of stone. And stone houses take a little longer to build than houses that are made out of brick. And they take longer to build than the houses that are made out of wood. And he would start a house or a bunch of houses out of stone. He'd take deposits from his customers. And then the Great Depression. I'll tell you what happened when we come back. It's a very sad story. It's a sad story about survival. And that's why we talk about what we talk about. Your instructors know about the Great Depression.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.